Topic 30. Cycles. Cyclic impulses. 1. The soul's meditation is rhythmic and cyclic in its nature, as is all else in the cosmos. The soul breathes, and its form lives thereby. There is an ebb and flow in all nature, and in the tides of the ocean we have a wonderful picturing of an eternal law. As the aspirant adjusts himself to the tides of the soul life, he begins to realize that there is ever a flowing in, a vitalizing, and a stimulating, which is followed by a flowing out as sure and as inevitable as the immutable laws of force. This ebb and flow can be seen functioning in the processes of death and incarnation. It can be seen also over the entire process of a man's lives, for some lives can be seen to be apparently static and uneventful, slow and inert from the angle of the soul's experience, while others are vibrant, full of experience and of growth. This should be remembered by all of you who are workers when you are seeking to help others to live rightly. From a treatise on white magic, page 62. 2. These cyclic impulses in the life of a disciple are of a greater frequency and speed and forcefulness than in the life of the average man. They alternate with a distressing rapidity. The hill and valley experience of the mystic is but one way of expressing this ebb and flow. Sometimes the disciple is walking in the sunlight, and at other times in the dark. Sometimes he knows the joy of full communion, and again all seems dull and sterile. His service is on occasion a fruitful and satisfying experience, and he seems to be able to really aid. At other times he feels that he has naught to offer, and his service is arid and apparently without results. All is clear to him some days, and he seems to stand on the mountain top looking out over a sunlit landscape, where all is clear to his vision. He knows and feels himself to be a son of God. Later, however, the clouds seem to descend, and he is sure of nothing. He walks in the sunlight and is almost overpowered by the brilliance and heat of the solar rays, and wonders how long this uneven experience and the violent alternation of these opposites is to go on. Once, however, that he grasps the fact, he is watching the effect of the cyclic impulses and the effect of the soul's meditation upon his form nature, the meaning becomes clear, and he realizes that it is that form aspect which is failing in its response and reacting to energy with unevenness. He then learns that once he can live in the soul consciousness and attain that high altitude, if I might so express it, at will, the fluctuations of the form life will not touch him. He then perceives the narrow-edged razor path which leads from the plane of physical life to the soul realm, and finds that when he can tread it with steadiness, it leads him out of the ever-changing world of the senses into the clear light of day and into the world of reality. From a treatise on white magic, page 63. 3. May there be a full and steady play of cyclic force from the kingdom of the Spirit upon each one of us, calling us forth into the realm of light, love, and service, and producing a cyclic response from each one. May there be a constant interchange between those who teach and the disciple who seeks instruction. From a treatise on white magic, pages 64 through 65. 4. The ebb and flow of daily life during a particular incarnation will also demonstrate its interludes, and these the aspirant has to learn to recognize and to utilize. He has to register the distinction between intense outgoing activity, periods of withdrawal, and interludes wherein the outer life seems static and free from active interest. This he must do if he is to avail himself fully of the opportunity which life experience is intended to furnish. The whole of life is not concentrated in one furious, continuous stretch of rushing forth to work, nor is it comprehended in one eternal siesta. It has normally its own rhythmic beat and vibration, and its own peculiar pulsation. Some lives change their rhythm and mode of activity every 7 years. Others alter every 9 or 11 years. Still others work under shorter cycles and have months of strenuous endeavor, followed by months of apparent non-effort. Some people, again, are so sensitively organized that in the midst of work, events and circumstances are so staged that they are forced into a temporary retirement wherein they assimilate the lessons learned during the preceding period of work. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 514. 5. Growth is one long period of building in order to destroy, of constructing in order to disorganize later, of developing certain rhythmic processes in order to later disrupt them, and to force the old rhythm to give place to the new. From Letters on Occult Meditation, page 82. 6. Cyclic appearance, therefore, governs the rays as well as the kingdoms in nature and the forms contained therein. It determines the activity of God Himself. Races incarnate, disappear, and reincarnate, and so do all lives in form. Reincarnation, or cyclic activity, lies behind all phenomenal activity and appearance. It is an aspect of the pulsating life of deity. It is the breathing out and the breathing in of the process of divine existence and manifestation. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1, Esoteric Psychology 1, pages 266 through 267. 7. The way of the aspirant climaxes at times and might be described as a series of steady growth cycles, accentuated at intervals by definite periods of forced development, wherein one limitation after another is forcibly removed by yourself. All limitations and hindrances have to go. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 598. 8. The cycles of interest, or those periods in which the masters pay close attention to the quality aspect of mankind, are also being speeded up. The gauging process will take place now every 300 years instead of every 1,000 years, as has been the case until 1575 A.D. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 335.